Welcome to the Knox Sunday podcast for Ascension Sunday, May the 24th, 2020. We're pleased that you're able to join us for this podcast, and we hope that you have a copy of the Order of Service in front of you. This will allow you to join along with the responses and to sing along with the hymns, which are all printed in the bulletin. If you don't have the Order of Service and would like to get it, please contact the Knox office. We can put you on our email list, and we'd be happy to send you a copy of the order. You can contact us by either telephoning at 613-829-2266 or emailing us at office@knoxnepean.ca. Leave us your contact information, and we will send you the information for the service. This week, you will have received 2 weeks' worth because our office administrator is away next Sunday. So please don't mix up the two services. Make sure you've got the May 24th service in front of you and keep this email so that you can print off the one for May 31st for next Sunday. You will not be getting another one. For this week, I would like to welcome and thank Soma Harland. She is here to be our reader and our soloist for this Sunday. So welcome to the service, Soma. We have some good news this week. It's printed in your order, and I would hope that you have a look at it and join in celebrating that good news. We also leave opportunities for people to send in prayer requests. We don't share anybody's information online, so we invite you to read those rather than having me read them out. These being everything, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Our call to worship is responsive, and it's printed in the bulletin. Clap your hands, all you peoples.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome.
A great King over all the earth.
Let us worship God. Let us join together in our opening prayer, which is a unison prayer, also printed. Let us pray.
Risen and ascended Christ.
You surround us with witnesses, and send us the Counselor, who opens our minds to understand your teaching. Bless us with such grace that our lives may become a blessing for the world, now and in the age to come. Amen. Our opening hymn for this service is found in Voices United at number 189. It is Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise. We will be singing it to the tune of Landfair, which can be found in Voices United at number 875. But the words are printed, so please join in.
Thank you.
Our responsive psalm for today is Psalm 93. You can find this at Voices United number 813. As is our practice, Allison will play through the refrain once, and then we will sing it to rehearse before we begin the psalm itself. You rule, O God, clothed in majesty,
robed and girded with strength.
You have established the world so that it can never be moved.
Your throne has stood firm from old. For all eternity, you are God.
The waters have lifted up, O God. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters lift up their pounding waves.
Mightier than thundering waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, mightier on high is God.
Truly your law stands firm.
Holiness adorns your house, O God, forever. So our lesson is from Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing upwards towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
Falling on my ear, the Son of God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Ascension Sunday has been the cause for snide remarks about Christian faith. The idea of Jesus literally going up has been mocked, with the suggestion that, depending on his speed, he would only be nearing the edges of the solar system now after 2,000 years of travel. Now, obviously, our knowledge of the universe has changed over the centuries. The idea that heaven is up and we are down doesn't work when you realize that you live on a globe. But there's a lot of symbolism built into that story, and we should read it with understanding to get the meaning from it. It says Jesus was around 40 days before ascending. Now, as we know in the Bible, 40 is something of a mystic number. You know, like the 40 days and 40 nights of temptation, the 40 years in the wilderness, the 40 days and nights of rain for Noah's flood. Moses was on the mountaintop for 40 days receiving the laws, the Ten Commandments. 40 in the Bible represents an uncertain but very large number. We might call it umpteen. But more than that, it combines the very human number 10, and that is a human number, count your fingers, with 4, which is one of the divine numbers. It's associated with the four-letter name of God in Hebrew, which we would call JHWH in English, and has other associations where God interacts with humans. It's a number that connects God to humanity. That makes it rather distinct from other divine numbers like 3 or 7, holy numbers that are reserved for God or perhaps for the idea of perfection. So the message here is that Jesus was on earth connecting God to humanity for a symbolically important time between his resurrection and his departure. That's what Luke's telling us. When he left to join God, there was the promise that he'd come again. Another part of the message is that Jesus went to be with God specifically for our benefit. We know that God is divine, so different from us that we can't help but wonder sometimes how God could possibly relate. I mean, there's the Creator who's infinite, and here we are a bunch of intelligent animals trying to run the world. If our personal experience tells us anything, even other humans who get into positions of power have a hard time relating to ordinary folk. So it's natural for people to worry about God, whether God can be close, can really be connected to us regular people. Ah, but Jesus? Jesus, born in a stable, had a job as a carpenter. He was criticized and mocked as an illegitimate child by the people of his hometown. He was pushed around by the Roman oppressors and ultimately killed by them? Oh, yes. Jesus can relate to the poorest, to the most desperate, to the weakest and the saddest. And that's the next part of the message. With Jesus at God's right hand, we don't have to worry about being left behind or ignored or falling through the cracks because we're unimportant. because Jesus brings into that divine equation the very human experience that makes God's love something we can trust. For myself, I don't believe that God needed that, that an all-powerful and all-wise God could take that infinite love that Jesus talked about and make it work for anyone. But we humans need that reassurance, that understanding of Jesus there at God's side, reassuring us that our prayers will be heard, that God's love will not overlook us. And the third part of the lesson here is what happens at the very end, where everyone is standing looking up to where Jesus has vanished into the clouds. It's a little bit like the crowd is waiting around till someone announces that Elvis has left the building, hoping for another glimpse. And those two men in white who show up, they say, "Why are you standing around looking up?" Does that sound familiar? Isn't this just like the message at the empty tomb, where the angels have to prompt the disciples to stop standing around and staring and get back to living? That's a real human tendency, isn't it? When something amazing happens, we try to hold on to it. We don't want it to stop. We want to stay, to live on in that wonderful moment. But the message is always the same. Get on with it. Don't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. In this instance, the people were told that Jesus was with God, and that one day he'd return. But in the meantime, we have work to do. So rather than standing and looking up to heaven, we should look around and see what needs doing. In those days, up clearly represented God, and now, with the ascension, represents Jesus with God. So the disciples here were being called not to keep staring, to trust God and Jesus, to be reliable, not to look up as if we're afraid of being forgotten still. It was a radical idea that Jesus taught. Not new exactly. Others in the Bible before him had said the same thing, but Jesus gave it new depth and new meaning in his teachings. That idea that every one of us matters to God, that God cares for us and makes us able to contribute no matter how limited we fear we might be. So this final calling of Jesus' ministry happens, to get on with it. To look around instead of up. To take what Jesus taught and make it real in this life. So there are a lot of things tied up as we celebrate the ascension. We are reminded that Jesus himself was a bridge between God and humanity, connecting us to our Creator by his very life. We're reminded of the fact that God cares for us, not in some remote, chilly, infinitely powerful way, but in a human way, in a way that can empathize with the deepest human suffering, in a way that cares for every person, regardless of their status. And even if we ever doubted that God would care so deeply, we have the reassurance that Jesus will bring that perspective to God. And finally, we have that message not to worry about that stuff anymore, but to get on with our lives, to take that message of love, of justice, of hope, to take the message of all the things that Jesus taught and bring them to the real world in which we live. Now, of course, we need to think about God. It's not that we should never set our minds above. We need to consider what ultimate meaning life has, but we must not stop there. With our heads in the clouds. If we find value in what Jesus has taught, then we must take that and apply it. Spend a lot less time standing still and looking up, and more time looking around to see what good we can do. Amen. Our next hymn is taken from the More Voices hymn book, number 154, Deep in Our Hearts. And it is, of course, printed in your order of service. Let us now bring to God our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we are struggling with a pandemic and beautiful weather that calls us outside and makes us want to get together, as we are struggling with the need to be safe and the desire to connect, to hug and to love, as we are facing these conflicting concerns, we ask for your help. We ask for your wisdom and your strength. Be with us in this time. We face some very practical issues, as well as some that seem like they run very, very deep into our very being. This time has reminded us that when we are alone, we are very alone, and it is with others and in others that we find our meaning and our purpose in life. And it is as you bring us together with others that our meaning expands and grows, develops depth and wonder. We thank you for this gift, and we thank you for the reassurance that even as we are in our isolated places, we are still connected by your Spirit. We are still upheld by your love. Sometimes in these days, we might wonder, we might doubt, our faith might very well be tested. We wonder why this is happening, whether we've done anything to deserve it. Help us to know, through the scriptures that we heard today and through the reminder of Jesus' teachings in other forms, help us to know that your love is there for us, every one of us, in every circumstance we find ourselves. That your gift of love is one that is stronger than any kind of separation, even stronger than the separation caused by death itself. And that you are more than a match for any trouble we face, any trial or difficulty that we struggle with. Be with us in this time. Help all of those people who are facing the situations that put them at risk. We call them the frontline people, those who have to help others, those who are called in to rescue, those who are struggling to provide medical care for those who are most ill, those who are at home trying to care for others who may be suffering either with COVID-19 or with all of those many other things that are part of human life, that are illnesses that seem to have taken a back seat during these days. Give them all strength, loving God. Let them feel your love. Let them feel our support and gratitude. Gracious God, we pray for those who find themselves facing this struggle but not able to understand it. We pray for those who find themselves deeply, deeply confused and wondering if they've been abandoned by their loved ones. Comfort them, we pray. Help them to realize that their loved ones love them still. Let the connections that we are able to make through technology overcome the physical distances we face. And help us, we pray, as we consider what it means for Jesus, who knew you so well and taught about you so much, what it means to be physically distant from him. We have this lesson saying that he's at your side, that he knows our needs and pleads our cause. Help us to take that as an example of the ways that we can help others, pleading the causes of people who cannot speak for themselves, bringing help in ways that maybe will not be seen by them, but will still benefit them. Help us, we pray, to look around in these different and challenging times to see what can be done. You are the creator, so inspire us with creativity as we look for new ways to help and new ways to be your people, connected even at a distance. Loving God, there are people whose situations are very well known to us. They weigh on our hearts. And so at this time, we pause for a time of silent prayer and present to you the concerns for others that we have. Eternal God, you love us more deeply than we can possibly know. We thank you for the knowledge that you hear our prayers. Amen. Now let us continue to pray in the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 190 from Voices United. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. It's printed in your order of service.
Is crowned with
Go now in peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you this day and forevermore. Thank you.